You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Merkel Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you have stories you would like to share with us from the road, your experiences, your life on the road, the things you do when you're driving, what you don't do when you're driving, what you've seen, what you haven't seen, go ahead and contact us. You can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to hammerlanelegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section and get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Chipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line is a short story that you've seen, whatever you saw on the road, 5-10 minutes at most. Leave your name and number message on there. We'll get to you. And, something happened on the road. How about it?
Keep it short.
Yeah. You could do that at 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes. Anything longer, get a hold of Jack. Need to come on the show.
There you go. Thank you, Shipper.
Anytime.
If you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, you know what to do. You know where to go.
Vote for
Prepare
Biden.
With HLL.com. That's preparewithhll.com. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You know, you're always interjecting, Chef. You're always interjecting.
Well, get your finger cards ready, people.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be a fun-filled day. We got Coverall coming up.
Yes, we do. It is going to be fun. Shipper, tell them about the Buy Me a Coffee thing.
Oh, the Buy Me a Coffee thing. If you enjoy this thing we call a show and you like to contribute to it.
The thing that we laughingly call a show sometimes.
You can be glad to do it. Follow some directions, make a donation,
And if you don't, just keep listening.
If not, just keep listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Share the show.
It.
Oh, what's her name? Ogilby.
Did you look one up?
Yeah, I did the
Fantastic.
Show prep.
I'm glad you did. I was busy yesterday putting the computer.
The computer crashed
last Saturday. So this weekend, yesterday, Thanksgiving Day, after dinner, after being awake for 24 hours, thankfully, I didn't have to install anything. Jack did it
Jack
all.
Finally shows up.
Jack was here. So we put in a whole new computer.
Because, there was free food.
Monitor. All the stuff is all ready. It's fantastic. And nothing is going to bleep on us.
Knock on
wood.
Right.
So, and you know why? Because I got a laptop this time. It's not a desktop. So if the power goes out, laptop still runs. It's got a battery. We're safe. Amen, brother. Yeah. Yep. Happened one time.
That and a 9,500-watt generator made
lost his
too.
Whole show. I could not believe it. I was so pissed.
All right. So you're talking
Pardon
to
my
friends. Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to everybody.
There's nobody here that cares.
Yes, they are.
They're worried about their show.
Nope, they're fine. Not they're good. Ears. They all know. This. We know what it is. We're truck drivers.
Speed
We're all about each other, my friend.
The show.
We are all about each other.
All right.
So, All of those things being said, with all the new equipment we have installed this week.
Right, we still know how to operate.
Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Shipper certainly did because he was off Wednesday. Some of us actually had to work Wednesday night. You know, well, that's the way it is.
It's about time with your new hip. Yeah, you carried exactly. the weight.
Yeah, I did. And it,
I'm
and
tired
my hip,
of carrying the weight for
my
company.
Titanium hip held up. Mm-hmm. We're in fantastic shape. Today, we have somebody. We have actually a couple of guys in studio today. It's freaking awesome. In studio with us.
Because they had nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you homeless dudes.
Wow. Homeless Paul, apparently. Paul, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for coming in and talking with us. Just make sure you put sit up to the that microphone. You have to be like almost right on top of it and just talk into the side of it.
You good?
Yep.
Just get the black part at your mouth. Uh-huh. There you go.
All right.
There you go. Anyway, all that. It's awesome to see you. Thank you for coming in. It was nice to meet you today.
Nice to meet you.
And yeah, it's a pleasure to have you in. Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
About myself. Well, I've been driving truck for 28 years.
And you're still in that good of shape. Dude, what are you doing right?
Well, I wasn't in good shape when I was in my late 20s. I started working out again. My wife is a personal trainer, nutritionist. So I started going back to the gym. So I didn't look like an overweight truck driver. Because I was...
I resemble what that remark is.
Well, at Kraft Foods, I was running regional for a while, Northeast. So I stayed out. I lived at home with mom and dad till I was 21, 22 when I bought my first house. So I was sleeping in the truck, wasn't eating right. 28, I was 270, 280 pounds. Decided it was time to go back to the gym. And that's when I started going day shift. I was home every day with Kraft Foods. And
see, it's amazing what happens when you go day shift.
It is. It's crazy.
Well, then I was also night shift running up to upstate New York with Kraft Foods.
Okay.
Ran up to like Rochester, just south of Rochester and Avon. Turn around and come back every day. So that's about all I've been doing my whole life is driving truck.
Wow.
Dad got me into it. I knew when I was 16 I wasn't going to college.
Right.
So went and started driving, learned on an old duplex Mac on a farm.
Nice.
And then at 16, 15, 16, I was backing under the corn silos. And that's when I realized I want to become a driver because I don't want to be inside.
Right.
So I started driving. Kraft Foods was my first driving job. Dad got me in there because they couldn't get drivers.
Crazy, isn't it? You know?
Back then.
You think a company like Kraft, you know, It's not like Kraft didn't pay good.
Well, 96, when I started driving there, we had to, even up to early 2000s, we had to fingerprint all the Kraft loads.
Oh, wow.
So going on
for those of you that don't know what fingerprint means, that has to, that touch. Means hand unload touch.
Yes, sir.
Put it on their specific wood for the certain customers. Yeah, you know, episodes before this, I said, no, I don't work for you.
We were the lumpers.
Yeah. Yes.
Small wood. Regular wood.
Right.
Big wood.
So we
no wood.
Super Value, Portland, Maine. And Kraft had so many different products.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
You could be on the dock for 5 hours unloading.
Wow.
At some Super Values. Nobody wanted to do it. So they actually hired me and two other twin brothers that their dad drove for Kraft. And it was a great job till 2014 when they got rid of the private fleet.
Wow. That does suck. That's one of those crazy things that you think a job like that, it's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as Kraft is here, as long as they're making singles, you know, you got a job.
Well, 1 year the private fleet was for a profit. Next year the private fleet was let's lose money.
Oh, wow.
So no one could figure out what the private fleet's real job was except for if another trucking company wanted to raise the price to go to White Rose and Carteret, New Jersey. They'd be like, no, we'll haul it on our own truck, keep the rate down. So then someone would come and underbid it. They'd run it for a couple months. They'd try to jack the rate up. They'd be like, no, we'll put it back on our own trucks.
Right.
And we'd be hauling it again to those customers, basically to keep the rates down. So they just never knew what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kraft, well, right after they got rid of us is when Kraft and Heinz merged. I went to, when they got rid of us, I went to Foodliner to do a reefer unit count for them for Just Born.
Uh-huh.
So I did that for a while. So I came to an LTL side.
How did you like that changeover?
From
doing like anything
groceries?
Like,
well, yeah. When Kraft closed down, I said I'd never go work for pulling to a grocery warehouse again.
Right.
Because you could sit there for hours waiting to get unloaded, and I just don't want to do that no more.
Yeah.
So coming over to the LTL side of it, line haul was great. I just didn't like night shift anymore.
Right.
But overall, it was a big change because like Kraft Foods, you did a lot of drop and hooks then towards the end.
Right.
My job after Kraft Foods was all drop and hooks. I just went 12 miles back and forth from a plant to a warehouse.
Wow.
Shuttled anywhere from 12 to 14 loads a day.
Wow.
And that got to be...
You'd be cleaning up on the dropping hooks.
Yeah, well, no, that, it was a lot of, you work 12 hours a day doing it, but yeah. It just got to be boring.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, and it's actually fun.
And doesn't it seem like that's one of the problems with the job, with the job that we do? If you find something that's like, you know, really, you know, you're kind of just shuttling back and forth like that, you know, doing that type of thing. After a while, it gets monotonous, and then you do like city work.
Yeah.
And then that just gets tedious because it's like dealing with people, dealing with traffic, dealing with customers. It's like, that's why I'm a line haul driver. And then when you're working at night, it's like, it can be frustrating, yeah. You know, because you're off schedule, you know, you know, for myself on Wednesday night, I'm working Wednesday night into Thursday and I come home Thanksgiving day and it's, my wife is working. So there's one person here who's going to cook dinner for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The same guy who just worked all night long. And now he's going to stay up all day, cook dinner, get everything done. And then by the time I laid down, you know, I sat on the sofa at 9 o'clock last night. I was going to sit there for just a few minutes because my son is here. It's like nice to see him. I haven't seen him since I saw him in September because he lives in Tennessee. So I was like, okay, I'm going to spend some time with him. I sat down on the sofa and in 10 minutes I was sleeping. I was out for 3 hours. I woke up at 12:15. I'm like, I got to go to bed. Well, I got to get up to do a show tomorrow. You know,
it could have went the other way there, Harry Chapin.
Yeah. What way could it have gone? Yeah.
Just hand him the keys.
He has a key. What do you mean?
Could have went the other way.
Yeah, it could have. And I still could. You know,
I was proud to see Jack actually working up here. But hey, back to the show with Paul.
But that is, you know, that can be some of the problems with the job that we do. It's like, you know, we don't have a normal 9 to 5.
No.
You know? And sometimes it's one of those difficulties that you deal with. But it's the job. You know what I mean? And like you, I can't see my, you know, at this point, 30 years driving, I can't see myself working inside.
No.
You know?
I couldn't see it at a young age. I'm
right.
Just didn't want to be inside. Driving truck is something I watched my whole life.
Right.
I mean, that's all my dad did.
Yeah.
And so my dad was, half the year, my dad's 14 years older than me. The other half, he was 15 years older than me.
Wow.
So you were very close in age.
I thought Tony and I were close. Holy crap.
Yeah. So it was different growing up with a dad.
Yeah.
That young in age.
That close. Yeah. He's more like a big brother.
It was.
You know, and I don't mean any disrespect that way because no. I know that's how it was. As Tony got older, he's only 17 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
So as he got older, it's like you become more friends, you know, and that's how it is now.
No, that's how, well, especially when I started driving at Kraft Foods. And basically he took me under his wings to get me in there. And
that's awesome, man. That is,
you know,
so
and it was
cool.
Like your best friend, your dad.
Yeah.
And we ran a lot of places together with Kraft.
Right.
Cause mainly we did a delivery at a grocery warehouse and we went to a Kraft plant for a backhaul 9 chances out of 10.
Wow.
And, so you'd see him up in North Orange, New York. And,
right.
You know, we'd go get breakfast or something together. And
that's nice.
You know, we'd be in there fingerprinting up the loads up there at Super Value in Portland, Maine together.
Right.
On the dock for 6 hours. You know, how many people get to work with their dad full time?
Yeah.
Something you enjoy doing.
Yeah. And how?
But yeah, Kraft, if Kraft was still here, I'd probably still be there, unfortunately, dealing with grocery warehouses. But I'm happy to be on the LTL side.
That's cool. That is really cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it, you know, because a lot of times you talk to guys who don't enjoy the job, they do it, but they don't enjoy the job.
Well,
you know, so it's cool that you do. And when you've grown up with it,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, it's what you know.
It's all I know.
Yeah. So that's neat. You know,
so even at a young age, I thought about just doing farming or landscaping, but you know, the money's in the driving.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? There's this, yeah, you can't compete.
Exactly. No.
Is it the best lifestyle? No, because sitting in the seat, you eating crappy food.
Right.
So I get up at 3:15 in the morning.
You gonna put it on silent?
We're doing fine.
I get up at 3:15 in the morning to work out before I come to work.
Just don't hit that button.
Get the heck out.
Yeah.
Good for you, dude. Get up that at 3:15,
work out, start work at 8 in the morning, get home anywhere 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Because I do mainly residentials now.
Okay.
Small. I run the pup run.
Uh-huh.
So it's go home, go right to bed.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I deliver
right next door. So I run everything from Airport Road West in our coverage area.
Okay.
So I can do anywhere from 200 to 300 miles a day.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I could leave Allentown, go Center Valley, Quakertown, Telford, Perkasie,
right.
Pipersville, and I could finish
Shoeville.
I finish up at Pine Grove, Tremont, St. Clair,
get
Pottsville.
The heck out.
Sometimes head over to from Orwigsburg, head over to Lehighton yet in one day. Anywhere from 10 to 14 deliveries plus pickups.
Boy, that takes me all the way back to my first driving job, LTL. I drove for Johnson Motor Lines down in Easton.
Yeah, but you didn't have a small trailer.
Start in Easton. And well, I had, you know, when I first started, it was a straight truck and then moved into trailer. But I used to go from Easton to Ephrata and down into Thurmont, Maryland. I mean, it was a huge area like that because that's how it was. You know, you just hit all those little spots, all these little, you know, it was a small trucking company. It was hilarious anyway.
Was that when they were off 25th Street?
Yep. I drove from Kutztown all the way into Easton to freaking go to work. And then I drove all the way back out here to do my deliveries.
Well, at least you know where you were going.
Yeah, I did.
I lived up above Wing Gap, so I was driving like 40 miles to work at Kraft
every
day.
It's crazy, isn't it?
40 miles home.
Yeah, that's a ride.
That's when Kraft closed down, my dad went down to where he went to.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to, he asked me if I was going to come down there. I didn't want to travel 30 minutes, 40 minutes to work every day.
Right.
Because I did that for how many years?
Right, right.
I said, no, I'm done traveling. I wanted something a little closer to get to work.
I don't blame you.
Especially if I'm driving and being home every day. I don't want to drive 30 minutes. That's, especially going down there, you never know. Lehigh Valley traffic in the morning.
Amen, brother.
30 miles.
You just say it. Sucks. It blows.
Yes.
You know, hour and a half to go 30 miles.
Nothing wrong with that if you get paid by the hour.
If it's not on 78 right now, just wait.
Just wait. There will be one.
There will be. What's that? Yeah, exactly. Just hold on. It's going to happen.
One's coming.
That's Lehigh Valley. It's crazy. But I know.
A lot of people drive far to get to work in the Lehigh Valley. And I just... It's too many trucking jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me to get to work, it's 23 miles. I can make it in 20 minutes or I can make it an hour and a half, depending upon traffic. Yeah.
Well, I live.
Blows.
nine miles to my job now.
Nice.
But I leave my house at 7 a.m. because you never know what 22 is going to be like.
Yes.
So I can make it to work in 15, 16 minutes. But
nice.
Coming home, it could take me 40 minutes to get home because of 22.
Yep.
Especially with the construction going on down by 33.
It's
so I give myself an hour to get to work because of the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. That's what I do. And it takes me an hour.
Takes you an hour.
It takes me an hour to get to work because, you know, I live all the way out here. I mean, you know where we work. So Center Valley is not, it's not just, you know.
No.
And it's just, I've done this. And, you know, when we first moved out here, it was like, it was a hike. You know, and then you're like, you know, it just is what it is. And I've been living here for 25 years. You're just like, it is what it is now.
Yeah.
But if I were to look for another job, I ain't looking for another job in Allentown now. I'm looking out this way. You know, I'll find something that's local. I'll even work right next door. That, you know, a lot of times they have a little sign out for, you know, straight truck driver. I'm like, you know, that's awfully tempting. Probably doesn't pay anything, but it's awfully tempting because I could walk right next door.
Look at that. You could go to work to the right. Go to church on the left.
Right. I don't have to ever go anywhere. I can live
that
right
mileage
here.
Mileage on that Toyota would stay low.
It would stay 371,088.
Check your cars, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I wanted to do. It's bingo day.
I have it right here. See, I have the card up. I'm playing along.
Yes. Yes. This week we turned 371.
There you are.
Anyway, back to Paul.
That will be in the O section.
O section.
Anyway, back to Paul.
Well, that's about all. That's all I do.
Yeah, but that, you know, that it's interesting. That's the job. I mean, the things that you see, the things you do, and the things you've done over the years.
Yeah.
You know, again, that opportunity to work with your dad.
That was...
That's just, I mean, that is so phenomenal because most people don't experience that.
No.
You know, and it's funny, and being as close in age as you were, you know, it's one of those things where like you said, you become, and I've noticed this with all of my kids, the older they've gotten. Now, Jack, you know, he's 10 years younger than Tony. So it's like, yeah, he's still, he's 26, 27, 28, whatever he is.
Yeah.
I don't even remember anymore.
He's still walking around here barefoot.
Exactly. You know, but it's like, yeah, you just kind of, that whole thing changes. That whole relationship becomes different. But when they're that close in age, it's like, it's always been kind of like, yeah, he's just my older brother, my best friend, you know, it's somebody I hang around with. You know, my dad was like 50 some years older than I was. So I didn't have, you know, by the time I graduated high school, he was like just about ready to retire. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Like, holy crap. Yeah. My dad was pretty old. You know, it's fine, you know, but I was close with him, which was good. It was good.
Well, it's like he didn't, you know, he was driver his whole life. So even my football games, he couldn't come see.
Exactly.
But
that's
then,
the stuff that you miss.
When I turned 37, uh-huh. I started competing in strongman.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
So I started competing heavily. Like one year, I think I did like 30 competitions in one summer. Trying to go to nationals.
I've been competing in the heavy man competition. I'm trying to get heavier.
Yeah.
How's it working, man?
You know, deadlifting
that's
cars.
Awesome. No, that is so fantastic. That's impressive.
Get over here.
And, you know, so he came out to a lot of those because he missed a football game.
Sure.
So he started coming to a lot of my strongman competitions.
That is really cool.
Even though I started when I was 37 and then I stopped when I was 42.
Uh-huh.
But he liked them. He enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Told me I was stupid for doing them. you know, I tore a bicep, tore a calf.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my word. That's gotta be friggin' painful, dude.
Picking up 350-pound Atlas stones. Tore a bicep on that, trying to stone load it.
Holy cow.
So what you're saying is technically you don't require a lift gate at this point.
I got, we do a lot of that build.com delivery stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I get a toilet sink. I won't drop the lift gate. Lady goes, don't you have something to drop that with? The one day I said, ma'am, it's easier for me to grab 75-pound toilet and walk it up to your house than it is to drop a lift gate. I said, I'm sorry.
I might get hurt. Might get pinch points there, you know?
Build.com. So that was my fun stuff doing outside of driving truck.
That's fantastic, though. That is so cool. I mean, it's so good for you too. It's so healthy, you know. I mean, it when you do this, like you said, when you do this job and you're sitting so much, that's 90% of the job is just, you know, sitting.
I food prep.
Yeah,
so I cook my food on a Sunday for the whole week, portion it out. So I have the right amount of protein, carbs,
right.
But now it's starting to cut that back because I'm not 40, I'll be 47, so I'm not going as hard as I used to.
Right.
Just want to try to be healthy. And
Yeah. You look great for 47, by the way.
Thank you.
That's freaking awesome. When I saw you, I thought, maybe he's like as old as, you know, how old are you?
32.
41. I figured you're at least 40, younger than him.
Nope.
I did not think you were, you know,
47.
You're almost 50. Like, dude, you look great for 50.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm married, but, you know.
You're not swinging that way this week.
I'm not swinging this. Yeah, this Thanksgiving,
week.
You know. But no, that is so cool. That it's so healthy. How do you find the time to do that? You know, like to stay on top of it.
Well, that's why he says he wakes up at 3 in the morning to go to work.
How do you find the energy to do that?
Eat the right food.
That's probably a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, he lost me there. Sheets, hot dogs, Coca-Cola, Mountain Dew. I'm out.
Yeah.
Tagged out.
But the it's also the wife. My wife makes me, you know, held
that's
me accountable
awesome,
for a
no,
while.
That's good. Yeah, that's good to have a partner that's like that, you know?
You know, like the one time I decided to be stupid and cut from 230 pounds to 200 pounds for a strongman competition.
Wow.
So I cut 30 pounds in water weighted, water cut, and went and competed as a 200-pound class person. And took first place in that one and decided I'll never cut weight. I just want to walk around 225, 230.
Yeah.
Because that's why I competed at, was a 230-pound person. But she got me into it, and I didn't want to stop.
That's fantastic.
My wife competed in it, too, for a while.
No kidding. Yes. That's great. Yeah. Oh, my word, that's great.
Yeah.
That's, you know, having that support system around you
it
on
is.
A regular basis is fantastic.
It is.
Because you keep each other, you help to keep each other accountable. You know, that is awesome.
Because we never had kids, me and my wife. So that's basically was what we did was we started.
Yeah.
When she found out she couldn't have kids, I think is when we both got gained weight from depression.
Sure.
And then we flipped the switch and that's when we got back into it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Is that you?
Yeah. I thought I put it on silent
how
too.
How about that? How about that? You might want to check your phone. Bitching at me.
It is on silent. I don't know why it dinged. It was on silent. Anyway.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, it can be a point of frustration, you know, when you find you can't. Okay, you can't. Okay. And you fall into that depression. Yeah. You find something to pull yourself out. You know?
It was.
So and that's great.
When Kraft closed down, we actually bought a CrossFit gym.
Uh-huh.
When Kraft Foods closed down and got rid of us. Then that's where I started my strongman training was at our CrossFit gym that we had.
Uh-huh.
And then,
now is that like was that a whole gym that you bought or is that just like a, when I'm asking a question, you're talking like
a
Bowflex?
No. So CrossFit is a, functional fitness.
Okay.
It's, so it's like you use the word CrossFit, as and then whatever name you're using, but it was actually a building.
Okay.
And it was, you did functional fitness.
Okay. That's cool. That's really cool.
So you had a different workout every day.
Sure.
And you programmed it for the people. And then during the pandemic, she sold her partnership because we had a partnership with one other person. And now she opened up, Cycle Fit Lehigh Valley.
Nice.
And started that. She was personal training out of our garage during the pandemic, because she had clients that still wanted personal training. So she did that out
of
the garage.
That's fantastic. Good for her.
Supposedly you weren't supposed to be seeing people, but then she went back one where she was able to and opened up another fitness studio. So it keeps us going. She keeps me in check, make sure, yells at me when I start eating bad food.
Right.
Or you keep gummy bears in your center console of your car.
Right.
So
what are you, three?
I had about 10 handfuls on the way here.
Just hit the top button on that. Just hit it once. It should take it to the next level down. Ooh, there you go.
Next level. Here we go, people. Strap in.
That'll work. Or hit it one more time. I don't know what it's doing. Oh, hit it again. I just want to feel the air moving.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back.
It's going.
So,
Phil Collins. But
that is just so cool, you know, that your wife and
in
you
the
do
air.
The, I'm telling you, it never ends. Yeah, I know, right? So this is life, you know, but that's cool. So in your you've been driving for forever. I mean, it's like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, just turn it a little bit. See if it does it. I don't know if it will or not. There you go. Shake it. Shake it, baby.
So I've been driving for a very, very long time from being a young age.
Oh, my word. So, you basically started, what? When
18.
18. And then you got your CDL 23? Your class A or?
18.
And you were able to drive?
Can't leave the state of Pennsylvania.
It's an interstate license.
Interstate license. No. No, my dad was on the carnival.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad's grandparents. I mean, I helped out in the summertime.
Yeah.
But no, it was 18. You get a CDL in Pennsylvania, can't leave the state. 21, left the state.
Right. Okay.
So it's even, you know, if just when's retirement though? You know, driving a big truck.
Right.
You know, when you're 28 years in, you got guys that are like my job. Our senior guy's been there 40 years, but he hasn't been driving 40 years, but he's been with the company 40 years.
Right.
And it's like, how much longer, you know, I got a long time to go to retirement.
That's a good question. How does that work there? Like if at Pitt, if you're a dock worker for 25 years,
then you become a line jumper.
You keep your seniority.
Keep your seniority.
Stays the same. Is it the same there?
Yep.
that can be rough.
Yeah.
But I understand it at the same time. I totally get it. I mean, you got to do what you got
to
do.
You got to do what you have to do. I mean, they promote within. They'd rather promote within, which is nice.
Like, yes.
We have our own driving school up in Mass.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
So they send.
I have issues with that.
It being workers. In Mass or yes. that they have their own?
Yes.
Well, they had it down in Westchester,
uh-huh.
but they have the facility they have up in Mass is massive.
Wow.
So they have a cross dock, a warehouse, and a trucking academy up there.
No kidding.
So they send them up there, dock workers up there to get their CDL.
Right.
Get their permit in the states they work in. They go up there and I think they're up there for 8 weeks.
Wow.
So they go up Sunday. They come back on Friday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning. They work back at their own terminal.
Okay.
Friday. They're paid hourly the whole time they're up there. They're dock rate while they're up and driving.
No kidding. Boy, now that's a whole reverse, isn't it? Yeah. You know, that's kind of nice.
You know, they're not
get your license
paying out that money
that
nowadays to get a CDL. So, I mean, it's nice to see guys get promoted from the dock to driving.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
You know, does it stink if the guy's been on the dock for 8 years and then gets a CDL and bumps some guys down? It does, but he's been with the company, so you can't.
Right. And that's it. That's the thing is you have to be okay with
you
it.
You have to be okay.
You know,
you have to be flexible.
You do. I mean, what are you going to do? Ask somebody to give up their seniority?
No.
How many guys are you going to get coming off the dock then or wanting to move up?
Actually, right now, in the last 6 months, Allentown probably sent 4 guys up.
That's great. That is great.
So they first go from the dock. Two of them didn't go to we call it ES truck at our terminal for our company, which is our straight trucks, non-CDL. Normally, they're supposed to go from dock to the ES truck to class A.
Okay.
But two of our guys or three of our guys went right from dock to the driving school because they showed interest in it. And the guys that were, one of our drivers that were in an ES truck never wanted us class A. He just wanted to stay in a straight truck.
Okay.
So they skipped over him and sent one of the dock workers right up there. And actually, I think they came out pretty good drivers. I had a couple of them with me when they first came back after they got their license.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had their permit too because they didn't take their road test yet. So I still had them with me so you could see the residential side with the pup trailer.
Uh-huh.
So I had them with me, and I was actually impressed at their driving skills coming in out of an 8-week course.
Nice.
But when they come back to the terminal, our terminals, the guy, the person who says they're ready to go get it.
Right.
So they'll put them with a couple of our senior guys, see how they do, put them in different areas, tightness, make sure they're backing up, blind sides. So it was my turn to take them on the pup run to show them tight back roads. And I was pretty impressed with the way they came out of the driving academy.
That's great.
I mean, that in the aspect, you know, just shows you between Joe Blow trucking, you know, you can get your CDL in 8 weeks.
Right.
Or 4 weeks versus an actual company promoting within, teaching them the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
Whereas these other, these other academies or whatever just teaches you what you need to pass the test. And they say, well, when you get a job. They'll teach you the rest of it.
Right.
Well, we actually make them go and take the road test with a manual so they don't have that automatic restriction on their license.
That's awesome.
They also offer, if they hire you an automatic restriction, they'll send you up there to refresh you on manual to go get that taken off your license if you want it off your license.
Wow, that's great.
None of them, 3 people that I know that have the automatic endorsement only never took them up on the offer yet.
Wow.
Which I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I would want it off my license. I mean,
yes,
a lot of companies are going to automatics, love them, hate them. They have their ups, they have their downs.
Like anything else.
But I'd want it off my license just to have it off.
Just to not have that extra restriction.
Yeah.
You know, that way if anything happens, if they bring you a truck that's got a standard, you can drive it. You know, if you break down somewhere, you know what I mean? It just makes sense.
Well, we do a lot of swaps in our afternoon out of our terminal.
Uh-huh.
And one day, one of our swap drivers had to get out of his twin screw to go to a single axle. The only one there was a manual. He had to go home.
Wow.
There was no manual for him to jump, or automatic for him to jump in. So he had to go home.
Yeah.
You know, if he would have went and take him up on the offer, he could have jumped in the manual and still got more hours for the day.
Continued to work.
Right.
But when that's all you have sitting around.
Yeah.
And Lord knows that's what's going to be sitting around.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know,
that's what's left at the end of the day, at the end of the shift there.
I mean, when we first started going automatics, none of us wanted them. Now I kind of enjoy it.
It's kind of nice, isn't it? When we first started getting them at Pitt, I think a lot of us felt the same way. You know, I didn't want it.
No.
And I looked at it, I was like, man, I'm going to hold out as long as I can. And then you get it and you're like, that ain't so bad. And then you get the first time you get stuck in traffic. It's really not so bad.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
I can sit here and drink my coffee.
Exactly.
Sit in a traffic jam and
look, mom, no hands.
Yeah, it actually is really amazing.
It really is.
And you start having some knee problems, Ship. Having some hip problems or whatever, and you're Merkel. Like, I don't have to. Yeah, exactly. I don't have to lift my feet. I have to lift my legs. You know, it's two pedals. You know what I mean? It's a whole world of difference. It's great.
When you look a lot of truck drivers,
it is what it is.
Their shoulders are forward.
Yeah.
Because holding the steering wheel, shifting gears, and you know, they're constantly leaning forward.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll help.
Cut down on the wind resistance.
You know, but
but the girth, it's defeating the whole wind resistance.
But as long as it's inside the cab, you're still good. Yep.
But I mean, there's guys that had shoulder problems.
Yes.
That's a lot of times from shifting gears.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, it has its ups, it has its downs.
Yeah, it does.
Winter time, single axle automatic, not that much
chain
fun.
Up.
Yeah, well, they give us little cheater chains that hop through the little holes and they just go over.
Oh, really?
Gotcha. Yeah, they strap on and that's what we get.
They're called cheater chains to get you unstuck. But I mean, how much do we really go out P&D in the snow when it's really bad?
Yeah, in this woke society, not really, because they shut the roads down.
They shut the roads down around here.
No empties, no commercial vehicles.
No motorcycles.
Now, who's
the idiot on the motorcycle? Oh, Edelman.
You know, I mean, Pennsylvania anymore, they're calling for snow or shutting down.
3 days ahead of time, they're looking at it and going, hey, Thursday, and it's Monday. Thursday, no commercial vehicles on the highway, no empties, no. You know,
Thursday,
really?
Thursday, Thursday,
Thursday.
Well, I think
Thursday gets here and nothing. It's Pennsylvania.
Wasn't that from that Valentine? Was it
St. Valentine's Day massacre on the highway?
On the highway? Well,
I sat there for 13 and a half hours. My car on my way home after work.
My dad sat there looking at Stroh's when it was at the brewery.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get off at 100.
Yep.
And he's sitting right there and.
Amen, brother.
And then him and a couple other guys were like, listen, if we're here much, they called Kraft and said, listen, the one guy, they had Lunchables with Capri Suns. They're like, listen, we're going to start opening this trailer and handing out food.
That's awesome.
You know, and Kraft gave them the okay because they had Lunchables and Capri Suns.
Right there by the Stroh's Brewery, I'd be opening up that one first.
Open up the Stroh's, please.
You know, because they were getting ready to.
That's great. I mean, I sat a mile from the Hamburg exit for like 13 and a half to 15, whatever it was. I don't even remember anymore. I worked all night. I'm driving home and the traffic stops. I'm now a mile from my freaking exit. I'm like, really?
And then
it never opened.
I think that's when Pennsylvania really started cracking down on it.
Yes. And they had to. It's like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a crazy freaking thing. It was like, what are you guys doing? You're just letting it set? Yeah. You're not doing anything? You're not going to handle this?
They were just going to wait to the end and then plow it all at one time.
Yeah. Apparently, that was the plan.
Yeah.
Only now you have traffic, a traffic jam. For 50 or 60 miles, how are you going to plow that with all the cars on it?
Yep.
I mean, it was nuts. Okay. And that's PA. You know, thank you very much.
Start at the very end and work your way forward.
That's our tax dollars hard at work.
Yeah.
Mm. I love this state.
That's why you're still here.
That's why. I'm still here because my wife has a mom.
No.
Because I don't.
Pack them all up, you know. It's just like the Beverly Hillbillies. They move out of California because they're back to Tennessee now. Because they got to flee California.
I have not gone shooting and hit anything. I'm not bubbling crude. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Anyway.
I can hear what you're shucking and jiving.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff have you seen out there on the road? What kind of things have you experienced out there on the road? I mean, with all those years experience driving, I know there are things that you're like, I can't believe I just saw that. Or, I can't believe I just did that.
Where to
get
start?
Out your bingo cards. Wow.
Yes, here we go. We're going to be in the eye section, I think. Where am I here?
What have I seen?
Yep, that's it. The eye section.
So actually, I remember my first time going on the road. When I started driving to upstate New York, Mass, me and the one other younger driver were up in Woburn, Mass, I think it was, making a pickup going down to Dover, Delaware. Now,
Biden country.
I've never been up that way, really. I went up that way for my first time. We had to go to the craft plant in Dover, Delaware. So he looks at a map. Well, you know, back when we didn't have GPSs that well, and, you know, you're using Nokia block box phones.
Right.
He goes, I looked at the map. I got the perfect route. We're going straight down this way, right down 95, 4:30 in the afternoon. We're sitting on the Cross Bronx Expressway.
Right.
So he's
anybody could tell you that.
Well, we didn't know. We were young, dumb, you know, we didn't know what he just looked at the map.
Right.
So there we are sitting, you know, and he looks over, he gets on the CB, tells me something. There's another truck in front of me. I look over. I'm not paying close attention. Enough. Here was some chick lifting her, showing her boobs.
Nice.
I almost cream. I mean, I literally, you couldn't put a piece of paper between me and the trailer in front of me when I slammed on the brakes. He's laughing. He almost rear-ends me.
But look at here.
But there, you know, that was a fun one when he says, I looked at the map and there we were going across Cross Bronx, GW.
Yeah.
Evidently, Moses wasn't with you.
No.
Apparently not.
And, you know, and that's what my dad and them all got a kick out of and said, you know, you're supposed to take 287 to go around and stuff.
Right.
We didn't know. We just looked at a map. Started driving.
This makes sense. Look at that. It's a straight shot right down. We'll be there in no time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than that, everything everyone's seeing, I mean, you know, nothing.
No poop in a bag?
Well, yeah.
Here we go.
Check your bingo cards, people.
You know, carry dude wipes with you. Poop on the side of the road. I mean, you know, you ever use a guardrail?
I have.
You sit on a guardrail. It's
yes, you can.
Spread your butt cheeks so nice, you barely need any toilet paper.
I know, right?
And if you call ahead, you can get the guardrail warmed up for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
You get your own lumper. He's going to warm up the guardrail for you.
Yep. Those are my. I'm sorry. That's a favorite place to poop is on a guardrail.
Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes. I'm sorry. You know.
You got to go. You got to go. It's out there.
The 28.1.
It is amazing.
Preheat, please.
All right, the bag story now. Yes. So I was at a customer that was closed doing a swap. I had to go to the bathroom. No bathrooms.
Yeah.
So I carry black grocery bags with me, order them by the case off of Amazon for my garbage bag inside my truck.
Right.
So there I am over by the drop trailers, holding on to the side rail of someone else's trailer. Had my trailer blocking them across the front so no one could see me down in there. Spread a bag on the floor, hold on to the rub rail, grab the trailer rail. Take a poop in a bag, tie it up, threw it in a dumpster. Another driver got a kick out of it when I told him I had to go to the bathroom, what I did. So that was my favorite poop story.
And then, you know what he did? He went home that day and ordered garbage bags, you know, the shopping bags from Amazon. He's like, that was actually smart.
I keep a handful of them in the truck. You never know when you have to go.
You got that right. It is an instant porta potty.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But, I mean, just the normal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Guy pulled up alongside of you.
Yeah.
Spanking his monkey.
Doing his thing, yeah. She'll love that one. I know.
Turn that dome light on.
Yeah. Please turn it off, please. You know,
it's when you say air brakes.
When I first time, so you know where Lyleville, New York is?
Off
of 177?
Yep. Snow capital of the world.
Yep, my first time going through there, it was this guy from Potter County that they used to come down. They ran. So Kraft had a lot of teams back before we started.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a team driver. So they came down. They were from Potter County but drove for us. So it was Doug Eckert, my dad, and me. I was in back. We're running across 177, and it's snowing like crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, Dad, I think we're going too fast, man. The first snowstorm, major snowstorm up that way. He goes, listen, first truck runs off the road, we'll all be stacked on top of each other, easier for them to find us.
Nice.
My dad was in the wintertime, man. He was crazy. you know, driving on top of that snow. But
yeah,
that's where you learn to drive. I mean,
oh yeah.
So my last couple years there, when I used to go to south up to Avon, New York, we ran day cabs with super singles in wintertime going up there. But you'd go up there with a load of Capri Sun because they made Lunchables up there too. Sometimes you'd come back with a full load of Cool Whip that was only like 15,000, 10,000 pounds.
Yeah.
With a 53-foot load of Cool Whip, but a single axle. So what I did there is I got behind the first Canadian driver I found because they were all, you know, hopped up and didn't give a crap about driving on snow.
Right.
You just get behind one of them and follow them down, coming back down to Binghamton. And
then the road's clear.
You're good. The road's white clear. Yeah. You come down to Pennsylvania, you know, you ain't snow in your truck when you're coming down across on 81 there, it'll be knocked off with the way that road is.
Yep. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, but
check your bingo cards.
Upstate New York. I mean, we ran that a lot.
Yeah.
Lyleville, North Lawrence, New York.
That was at least upstate New York. Like I said, you know, New York State knows how to clear a road.
Though. Oh, they do. They do.
There's a difference between having and knowing with having the technology and knowing how to apply the technology of clearing a road.
How do they do as far as their bridges meeting the roads? I mean, they do a pretty good job with that too.
They have guys that actually, you know, get a measuring stick out
and know how to level.
There's
it
a little
out.
Bump there. Hey, we need to raise this. No, not Pennsylvania.
No. We leave that's how you clear
the Pennsylvania
roof.
Engineers. They're on the United States ski team there. You know, they do the jumps.
Yes, they are.
But no, New York was good with that.
A lot of times New York, like those side roads, like he was saying, 177.
Yeah.
They don't use salt. They're sanders. They'll put sand. Oh,
they still use sand up there. Wow. Yeah.
Well, at 177, when it gets bad, they would shut it down and it was one lane going in and out. And there'd be a snowblower going down that thing to open that route up.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's up there where Tug Hill.
Yeah.
All the snowmobiles.
Snowmobile capital of the world next to Old Forge.
Back, I mean, years ago, they used to get record snowfalls up there.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then like North Orange, New York had a craft plant. Craft for some reason put plants in the middle of nowhere, maybe for dumping stuff in the water. I don't know. I'm not saying that was the reason. But,
well, in the wintertime, they got enough snow. They didn't have to refrigerate.
They had them in nowhere. North Orange, New York. You went up past, another hour past Fort Drum.
Right.
And when you were up
there. You're almost in Canada.
That's all you got was Canada stations when you turned on something. Yeah. When you go to sleep, there'd be nothing on the ground. Wake up and there's 6-10 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
It's just the dusting. Yeah.
That's just the start.
But those are heavy loads. They made Breyers yogurt up there.
Okay.
Back when Kraft owned Breyers. So those were heavy loads coming out of there. So they weren't bad.
They used to own a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
they used to own Miller, Samsonite luggage.
Really?
They used to own Samsonite luggage.
I had no idea. Holy crap.
Yep. Miller, that was. Then the best was you used to go down to Mars Grocery Warehouse in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
Then go down and pick up Philip Morris because Kraft and Philip Morris was the same company. And you'd pick up a load of cigarettes, full load, 53-foot trailer, floor to ceiling.
Wow.
And you'd have to be in Pittsburgh the next day. If you were
Smoking the Bandit.
Yeah. An hour late, they were looking for you.
Really?
I mean, that's a high dollar
load. Oh, my word, yeah. Yeah. Especially, holy crap.
Especially nowadays, but even back then.
You got smokes.
Yeah. You know, they were, but you had to unload those too by hand.
No kidding.
Yeah, floor to ceiling, heavy boxes.
Wow.
But the nice part, they guaranteed you a minimum of 4 hours pay doing those. So if you can bust it out in 2 hours and there'll be two of you there, normally two trailers.
Right.
If you two can bust both of them out real quick.
You just made, if you can do it in 2 hours, you just made 2 hours.
You're on your way. Guaranteed 4 hours pay doing those. But those, they sucked. Middle of summer, unloading cigarettes.
God bless you, dude.
It's what made you, if you could do that, you could do anything in trucking though. Like touching a Kraft Foods load, you could have 30, 40 pros, different items on something. And then the weird part was Super Value always, you could go up to Portland, Maine every week and have four layers of the same exact yogurt. They wouldn't order full pallets.
Wow.
Because it looked like they were turning product quicker in the warehouse.
Oh, wow.
So you could be literally breaking four layers down every week.
Every week.
Instead of getting full pallets.
Yeah.
How much? Because they were turning, looked like they were turning product a lot quicker.
Wow.
So that's what was fun about that job.
Oh, my word. Yeah. That's the stuff that used to drive me crazy when I, like, when I was working for Johnson years ago, you know, I'd go south, go north. Yeah. You know, there was a warehouse up in Old Fort, was it Old Fort, something like that, up there. Up past, it's been so many freaking years since I've been up there, up past.
Scranton?
Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah.
44. There was one there.
44 there, 84 is out west. 84 is out
west, yeah.
Yeah.
West. Anyway, but yeah, it was break that crap down. It drove me nuts. I used to hate that freaking those. Just, it's crazy because it's like I'm doing your work for you. It's like, this is your crap.
Yep.
I'm gonna yank it off my trailer and I'm going, and it's like, no, you're not. You know, and you just stuck there for hours playing that dumb game. Yeah. And that is the thing that drives you crazy. Again, it's some of the stuff you deal with this job. It is one of those things. It's part of the job.
It is,
and you deal with it because at the end of the week, there's a paycheck, and it's usually pretty good. You know?
Well, we got paid for almost everything you did there, so it wasn't bad.
Really? It's not designed that way, Shep. That's why you can pull that out, so you can...
It's all balance. I got it.
Yeah, it's called balance.
Let me alone. I got it now.
Do you see what I deal with every week?
Get him a new toy.
You bought it.
Yeah. To make your life easier, not more noisy.
If you screwed it down, it would stay.
And then you'd complain because you couldn't move it where you wanted to.
Back to my bingo card. You know,
best part there was at Kraft for me. My favorite time there was when I first hit my first million miles.
Yeah.
Accident free. To be able to hit a class that my dad did the same thing in, you know, and have the plaque that he has, that because Kraft went above and beyond when you hit your million miles.
No kidding.
You know, you got plaques, you got a belt buckle with your name engraved in it with a Kraft truck in it.
Wow.
You got all your jackets.
No, it has to stay sideways.
You got all your jackets. Yeah,
I know, it's weird.
Yeah, jackets, your coats and all that.
Right.
With million miles. So that was cool for
that
me.
That is nice.
You know,
yeah,
I was able to hit a million miles. Same place my dad hit a million miles.
That is really cool.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. That is
well, it was easy for them to spell a last name.
Yeah, well, fitting that last name.
It was easy to spell it. It was just hard to fit it on.
Fit it on the belt buckle. You know.
It's a belt buckle like a meat platter.
With my dad... 16.
Wow.
I think he was there 4 years longer than me. 14 to 15.
Yeah, because he was
20.
Yeah. He was 20, I remember. 1920. Wow. Yeah.
That was really cool. You know, be able to work with your dad somewhere for 14 years. And, you know, I was almost at 2 million miles when they let us go.
Wow.
Because they kept track of every mile.
So they literally kept track of it. They didn't just round it or.
No, they didn't take, like, you worked here 11 years, you got a million miles, right, and you didn't hit an accident. No, they actually tracked
every took the hub
mile that you driven.
That was nice.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So you could rack them up pretty quick.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Especially, you know, back before we had paper logbooks. I mean, when we were running paper logbooks before computerized, you know.
Yeah.
And you throw one under your bunk and you keep going, but.
Right.
Yeah, it's the Tuesday, Thursday.
The Tuesday
book.
Edition.
Tuesday, you know. Thursday book.
And you got home Monday, Saturday, Wednesday, morning. Friday. You got home, you know, your logbook says you got home Saturday, but you're sitting home Friday.
Yeah.
But no, they kept track of all that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I just remember your dad telling me of all the stories about you guys meeting up after you were done with the warehouses and that damaged products.
Damaged products.
So. It was like a freaking flea market.
So at Kraft, if it was damaged and you called it in, you had to call in the damage. And they would tell you if it's under a certain dollar amount to throw it away. Well, once you had that damage code, the drivers were allowed to take it home.
Nice.
Well, they own Post Cereal. They own this. They own that. I mean, So at the end of the day, when you met up with somebody, it's like, oh, what'd you get, Damish? Oh, I got two cases of this. I got this. So you'd be swapping stuff out between amongst the drivers at different locations. And you'd go home. I mean, it was
grocery shop is done.
Well, I lived at home yet. So it was me and my dad both bringing stuff home. And it's like, holy crap, you got so much stuff. And you can't. But the only thing they said was, if you ever got caught selling it.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You'd be terminated.
Right.
You know, but they didn't care if you took it home. You had the throwaway code. So, you know, you'd give it to your neighbors, give it to whoever, friends. Yeah. Don't, you know, take it to the church and give it to people. But that was pretty cool. I mean, because you would literally come home with a lot of groceries at the end of the week because you touched a lot of freight.
Oh, my word, yeah.
And it was something always damaged.
Well, like you said, you know, Kraft owned a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you know.
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee, meats.
Filled pickles.
Nice.
Yeah.
But what's it?
I can't understand.
Well, the luggage.
Oh, the luggage. Yeah, luggage.
Like the different stuff that they had their hands in.
Well, it's not like they said that, you know, they got a set of, you know, 8 suitcases.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, did
because they fell under the Kraft Philip Morris umbrella.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was
they weren't coming home with cigarettes.
Right. No. Yeah, no matter what.
That was. But coffee, cereal, dill pickles, the Breyers yogurt.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Wow. I don't remember or not, but did they own French's? Like mustard, French's mustard, jerky French foods. It was jerky French foods, but I didn't know if somebody else bought them after. No. It's just an aside. I worked at Durkee French Foods installing a security system years ago. And then like a couple years after that, they closed up. What the heck?
Yeah.
I spent my first year installing security systems. Durkee French Foods in Bethlehem. And then they shut up. They shut the place. I was like, really?
I remember my dad bringing stuff because he used to haul out a Jaworski's piggyback service down there in Bethlehem. And the stuff he'd bring home from there, like he'd pick up at Durkee, do stuff there. And, you know, damage this, damage that.
Where? At Durkee? Oh, Jaworski's.
Yeah. So he did that for a while. And then actually, it's probably when I really thought I was going to be a truck driver, thinking about that. Now, I'll talk about Jaworski's. I remember when I was in like ninth grade, my dad's like, hey, you're not going to school tomorrow. So what do you mean? Because you're coming with me. I'm going to go take you for a truck ride. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to go ride.
That's awesome, man.
So, you know, my dad.
He needs a lumper.
So I didn't know, you know. So my dad had, was it the MH? Was that the cab over Max? It was a little bit. He had a cab over Mac at that time. No.
That wasn't cab over.
I think it was an MH.
Hang on a minute. We can find something.
Use the Google machine, right?
You know, cab over Mac.
Right.
So he grabs this load out of there. Next thing you know, wound up at Toys R Us out there in Jersey. Flanders, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Goes, oh, come on in with me. I said, oh, cool. Going inside the warehouse for Toys R Us. You know, next thing you know, he's like, here, I need help unloading all these tight toy cars and stuff. I'm like, there I am helping to unload. I'm like, man, this is pretty cool, Dad. You get to do this all day long, you know? But yeah, let me skip school. Took me out of school one day to go help him.
That is, you know,
unload a load.
When you're in school, that's cool no matter what. It doesn't matter what you're doing, you're out of school.
Go in this truck with them, go to work with them. And
that for, I don't know. That was the first time you climb, but the first time you climb into a truck and you're a kid and you actually go on the road and you're, my friend's dad, his uncle drove truck. And one Saturday he said, hey, we could go with him, my friend and myself and his brother. I was like, that's cool. That was my first taste. And I think I had been, you know, I don't know, maybe 12, something like that. And that was my first taste of you know, being in a truck. And it was fascinating to me. It was just fascinating.
It was.
Yeah. It's such a cool thing. And at that age, it gets in your blood. It's like, that's actually really cool.
MH, you are correct. Yeah. Yep.
It was an MH Mac. That is black one. Yep. Yep.
I
was,
wow.
You know, with the dog house inside, you know, and the cab overs.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, kid at our work when we were talking about a dog house the one day and a cab over, he didn't know what the heck we were talking about. I was like, why do you have a dog house inside the truck? Wow, sorry, Jay. I didn't mean Forgot you're only 24 years old.
Right.
Oh, poor Jay. Come on. Don't be picking on the man.
No, but it's...
Yes, he's been in
what you got to see out of that
trucking,
truck.
Like what? Yeah,
14. You know, that's crazy. When I think I realized I didn't want to do anything else.
Yeah,
besides become a truck driver.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. It's an amazing life. It ain't bad. It ain't good. It just is what it is.
Keeps the water off your.
It does.
That's any job, though.
It is, and that's it. It's any job. I mean, that is every job.
Any job.
Only you know we. I think the thing that you know has kept me going. Doing this is there's a paycheck at the end of the week and it ain't bad.
No.
You know, other than that, I mean, I like being on the road. I like driving. I always did. I like driving. When I learned how to drive, I was fascinated with driving. I drive a car everywhere. You know, I drove just to go for rides, just to go, you know.
What are you, a part beagle?
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, I mean, no matter what, you don't do, nobody does anything for free because they, you know, this is your job.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a paycheck at the end of the week.
There is.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great paycheck. And it keeps everything afloat. It pays for kids. It pays for bills. It pays for your life. You know, it's you do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do.
Yes.
I do the things I have to do. I drive a truck and that's how I make a living. I ain't making a living on the show. I mean, that's for sure. And I have a face for radio, so I'm not going to be on TV, you know? That's just reality.
No, I mean...
not like you're going to be a centerfold.
Right, exactly. Not even in Truckers R Us, you know?
No. Yeah.
And it gave me and my wife a very comfortable...
Yeah, there you go.
...life that we have. So, I can't complain about that decision I have ever made.
Yep, I hear that.
But, I mean, hardest part is... worrying about what everyone else is doing out there anymore.
Yeah. Oh my word. Yeah.
You know, cell phones. So I was in a double fatality not long ago.
Wow.
And it was someone doing something they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it hits you. Then it doesn't. Then it might hit you again.
Well, this is what I was saying before, you know, about having a driver with a fatality.
Right.
It's just, not after that accident. That lives with you. I'm sure you think about it at least once a day.
Yeah.
Every day you're behind the wheel.
Right.
Every day you get behind the wheel.
You know, so one thing I will do every day, no matter if I argued with my wife before, whatever, I text her when I get in the truck that I love her.
Yeah.
You know, because you just don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I was actually on the phone with somebody when it happened. I kept my calm. I kept calm pretty well when it happened. I went hard right to try to avoid it. But it's worrying about what everybody else is doing out there, not what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's too many distractions out here anymore.
It's one of the things that over the years has
too many distractions.
So
I mean, how many times? Well, you drive during the day, so you might not see it as much because of the daylight, but I see it at night. You know, you got the flip flops and Bermuda shorts and the pull string and the dot push starters, and they got their Haji, you know, computer going, watching all kinds of stuff on the computer.
Oh, you see it during the day.
The whole inside's lit up like a Christmas tree, and you know it's not a GPS.
Nope. No. Nope.
Right over there?
But it's, that was.
Well, it's either push or pull.
Push or pull. That was hard, but
oh my word, you know, I can't imagine. Yeah,
when you're sitting up there and you just see someone texting, and the fastest cars you see on the road anymore with the radars in the front of our trucks are minivans.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Like those are the ones that are flying around.
Yeah,
and there's normally kids in the car.
Yep, it seems so antithetical to what they are.
Yes,
it's the car that says baby on board that flies by you at 105.
Yeah.
And you're like, where are you going? And you realize you have kids on board.
Yeah.
How stupid are you?
Yep.
I agree with you. It is the thing. And that's the thing in our society, in the way things are, that is one of the things that has changed so much over the 30 years that I've been driving. It is. Everybody's concerned with themselves and they're the only person on the road. It's my own little world. Don't you dare bother me. Don't get involved with me. Stay away from me. And you're the one invading everybody else's space.
Well, that's why you're in the right lane all the time.
I am in the right lane all the time because not only...
get out of their way.
I can't get out of any... I can't get into people's way. That's how slow my truck goes.
have to release the trailer brakes.
Well, there's a second button?
Yeah, that's why you have those flat spots on those tires.
Is that what that yellow thing does?
No, the red one.
Oh, the red one too?
Yes. That does not mean push just in case of emergency. It means
It is the thing that has changed over the because there are so many distractions. Sure. Everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's got their radio. Everybody's got their computer in their car. Everybody's got their TV screens in their car. Everybody's got this big, huge screen, which to me is like, why are we putting a big screen TV in the dash in new cars? What are we doing? It's nice, but it's like, do you realize?
Well, if you don't put that in the car, how's Tesla going to go on down the road?
I look at all these things and I'm like, this. We are inventing ways to make people distracted when they're moving at 75 miles an hour down the road in something that weighs 3,000 pounds.
And
then we complain because people are distracted. No. You know what? Let's go back to 1823. Well, maybe not. Maybe we'll go back to 1923. And we'll have absolutely nothing in the car except for the person sitting next to you.
Fine by me.
I know. You don't listen to anything.
Thank you.
He doesn't listen to the radio. Nothing.
Wow.
He's a weirdo.
Thank you.
He is a crazy
man. Chock full of nuts.
But you know what I'm saying? That we literally, in this modern age, we're inventing ways to distract people. And then we say, don't drive distracted.
Well, that's why you're having cars that drive themselves now. You know, you go down the road.
I'm waiting, you know, I'm waiting for
GMC.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm not. Whatever.
It is crazy, though, and I totally agree with you, Paul. It drives me insane.
I mean, after my accident, I came back. It happened on a Monday. Uh-huh. I came back to work on Tuesday. I came to realization I did nothing.
Right.
Right.
You just happened to be there. It's not your fault.
You know, it's something you have to live with.
It is.
But there's not, when you realize you, I almost put the truck down the embankment to avoid the wreck, but I wasn't quick enough and they caught me pretty good.
Yeah.
But it was a distracted driver. So every day I just look at it and I shake my head and.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all guilty at some point looking at our phone driving down the road. I'm not going to deny that. But mine sits up on the dash on the cell phone holder. You know, because I'm running my GPS.
Right. There's a difference between that and the guy that's on the car like this.
Yeah.
You know, going down the road.
I mean, I look at my phone, but it's on a holder on my dash because I'm running my GPS.
Right.
If I want to call somebody, I say, hey, Siri, call so and so.
Right.
But it's, there's no way we're ever going to stop it, I don't think.
It's not. Not until vehicles become automated, autonomous.
Yes.
That's it. That's the only way.
Or they go back to the 60s.
Or we go back to. You mean where cars weigh 5,000 pounds?
Yeah. And you know, the backseat of the station wagon was backwards, so the kids had the best view.
They had the best view of somebody coming up and slamming into the back.
Smell the best fumes. That was leaded fuel going through them pipes.
Amen, brother. And we wonder why. We wonder what's wrong with this generation. We
wonder why they eat paint chips. Huh?
But yeah, I, how do you stop it? No matter. All the PSAs, all the stuff that people do, everything the government does, it serves no purpose anymore.
No.
That's the problem, is it serves no purpose because it doesn't change anything. Because people don't change.
No.
They just get worse. And so the only thing you're left with is autonomous vehicles.
Well, because everyone's guilty of it, thinking it's not going to happen to me.
Yes.
It's not, you know, oh, it's not going to happen to me. It's going to, you know, I'm too good of a driver. I'm this, I'm that.
Yep.
Blink of eye, everything changes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it was so quick when that happened, I just had time to react by going right. And in the blink of an eye, you're like, you know, you could have been done. Your wife, your kids could have never seen you before because someone on the opposite side of the road did something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing you want people to think about. Think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you're not just impacting your life. You're impacting everybody around you.
Yeah.
You know, because you lived through it. But now you carry that. You carry that. You're impacted for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's just, it's a reality because somebody did something. Somebody else, did something that caused this.
Yep. And that's about all I can say about the accident.
Yeah.
Because I got to watch what I.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I totally get it.
You know, but at some point.
Yeah, you've hit the main points of it.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
You know, this incident happens. It was no fault of your own. It was distracted driving on somebody else. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, you get behind the wheel of that truck every day. You know what happened.
Yeah.
The car next to you sitting at the traffic light has no freaking idea, you know, of what you've already experienced.
Right.
And, you know, you see it going down the road. You get to text the swerve or swerve the text, however they want to put it. You can tell when they're texting because the car is swerving in your lane or swerving over to the Jersey wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's an everyday thing. It's like you said, you know, you had that experience.
Yep.
You get behind the wheel the next day and you see these morons doing the same exact thing. And it's like rinse and repeat in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, so, and, you know, as far as you saying about, you know, you yank the wheel right, you know, going towards a ditch, try to avoid it. Dude, you know, I mean, I could say it now. I'll say it. I wouldn't have. Because the simple fact of the matter is, some companies say you don't swerve to avoid anything. Stay in your lane.
Well, you know? I was swerving because it was coming dead center at me.
It was self-preservation.
Like, yeah.
So I would say it was three weeks later, I finally had to go down that road again.
And you literally relived that whole split second.
I delivered to the fire company that responded to me.
Oh, wow.
And that was, I pull up there with one of a big freezer refrigerator for this fire company.
Uh-huh.
And I'm dropping the lift gate and the one guy goes, well, just ask him. I said, what do you want to ask me? He goes, how's the driver doing? That was all in the accident. I said, he's doing pretty good. I said, he came back to work the next day. And they looked, they said, he's really doing that good. I said, yeah, you're talking to him. It's me. And we went in. I dropped it off inside the fire company. And the fire chief goes, can I show you some pictures? I'm like, as long as it's not anything gruesome. I said, you know. And he goes, no, it's nothing. I just want to show you something. He goes, because we had a debriefing after this and we talked about your accident. He goes, I told him you were ready to run it down off the, it wasn't a steep embankment, but it was an embankment.
Right.
He goes, I told him you're ready to put it down there if you know, you're trying to. He goes, your rear drive tire left here, and it showed the tape measure. It was 13.7 feet up is where my drive tire came back on to over the embankment.
Wow.
Because I only had 1,200 pounds in a trailer, single axle, 32-foot trailer. So, and then the state trooper that was there actually that day, he came up and he thought I was going to plop it over. The way it hit me and jacked me, he thought I was coming right over towards him, but I rode it up the shoulder, which I think it was because the tire was hanging off. But when they showed me that, it made me realize, you know, how close I was, and I did everything I could to try to avoid it.
Right.
But that was something to see and hear.
Oh my word. You know,
where they asked how the driver was doing.
Yeah.
But that was,
well, again, they're emergency responders, and they pretty well know who's at fault type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they know offhand, the driver of the truck walked away, but emotionally,
you never walk away emotionally.
There was a state trooper three cars behind her when it happened.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. State trooper was
no better cars, witness.
You know, so right there, they told me at the scene I wasn't at fault. Like, you know, he made me record them, actually. The state trooper to try to get my blood pressure down to come out of the ambulance because they weren't going to release me out of the ambulance. They were going to take me to the hospital because my blood pressure was raised. Then it came down after I recorded that and I sat there for another 10 minutes. My blood pressure came down. But I just thought it was weird that I delivered about three weeks later to the fire company that responded.
Exactly.
Yeah. To my accident.
Things work in mysterious ways.
I mean, exact things work in mysterious ways. You know, it's crazy because it gave them an opportunity to talk to the person who literally was involved in it and actually say you were okay.
Yeah.
And which is, it's kind of one of those reassuring things. These guys really do care.
Yes.
They don't do that job because it's a job.
Yeah. Reassuring in your mind that it really wasn't my fault.
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, it doesn't change what you carry.
No.
In your mind, the rest of your life, it's just the way it is. And it's crazy. It is crazy. This job can affect you like that.
Well, yeah. That's why I got right back in the truck, because the company I worked for offered me the rest of the week off paid. And I turned it down, said I want to come back in.
Yeah.
Just like when my father passed away.
Yeah.
I came back to work. So that happened on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I came to work that morning because he told me, make sure I go back to work. So to me, I just get back on something. So I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best distraction for you.
My best distraction, you know, so like even, you know, with my dad, he's like that weekend when I was down there with my dad, and he told me, you know, listen, I want to go to hospice.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I want you to do what you do, always do, keep your mind off something and go to work.
Right.
So after my accident, after that, that's what I did. I just went back and got back right in to see the truck because I felt it was the right thing to do. I had one bad nightmare about the accident that woke me up in the middle of the night. And I actually called my dad, talked to him when it happened. You know, when I woke up that day, you know, and he's like, well, you did the right thing by going back to work. You might have stuff like this. You know, it's, you got to live with it.
Right.
You know, and you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Some people said I needed to go see counseling for it. But what is the right thing to do? You know what I mean? Like when you're not at fault for something, and how many more times can you see it happen?
Right. Right.
You know, with these texting and driving. So.
Yeah. Did the accident happen this year as well?
Yeah.
So you had a busy year.
I mean, as far as really crazy things going on.
Yeah. I mean,
it was only a couple months apart.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was in my wreck and then my dad passed away.
That is a busy year.
So it was, it was a busy year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, so everybody knows, Paul is, Shipper and I had done a show dedicated to your dad. Shipper did most of the legwork on that. It was really nice. He did a great job with it.
My dad was supposed to be on here.
Yep, exactly. We wanted to get him on. And when Brian had said that he knew you, and it was like, this is awesome. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank
you. It was really nice. It was great to get a chance to meet you, talk with you. And it would have been cool, you know, to do this with your dad. But, you know, I mean, it's great to have you. And
Between all the F's with my dad. I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
Amen, brother.
Yeah, we would have had a new bingo card for that.
You know, I would have been, wow.
One thing about that would have been like a football pool. How many?
How many can he say? Yeah. How many did he say?
Everybody pick your box.
We're going to start the clock at 40 seconds. Go.
How many did he get in the first 40 seconds?
Yeah. But no, that was cool. That was really cool. So,
I mean, I felt honored knowing him, you know.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Working with him, you know. So I kind of get, you know, I miss the guy. You know, I do. Yeah. So, I mean, you're his son. So there's more depth to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow.
You know, he'd do anything for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. He was an awesome man.
Way to bring the show down, Brian.
Well, we're winding things down and we're just,
talk about a rock hitting the water.
No, I know. I thought it was appropriate to make sure that people know that this is his son.
Yeah.
Right? It's cool. So, you know?
Nope. He was a hell of a guy.
He was. And I think that's a positive note to end on right there, Shipper. He was a hell of a guy.
We can do that. We can keep going. Don't matter to me. We'll end it. Call it a day.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Mr. Johnny Wawa.
Mr. The best fried chicken on the East Coast at a gas station. Royal Farms,
yes.
That is the best chicken at a gas station.
I have not stopped, but you know, one of these days in Baltimore, I'm going to stop.
You don't have to go to Baltimore. Where are they at? Off of...
Lehigh Street?
No, Lansdale exit. Off the turnpike.
Yep, there's one right there.
Where?
To get in there
when you make the left off the pike.
I forgot about that one there.
Holy crap. Like, we don't go in that way anymore.
Some people don't.
One day we might. Did you stop?
He could tell you where every Wawa is.
Yes, he could.
Man.
Yes.
He was the GPS. Well, you know where the Wawa is on one there. You make the left after that, and then you get into the place right there, and that's where you deliver.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do appreciate you coming out. And you know.
No, thanks for having me.
And sharing, you know, some of the memories with your dad and that. I know it was kind of rough, but.
Yes.
I'm glad you did it.
I know you did it.
But. All right, with
every
that.
Day for it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like you said, you know.
We got a foursome coming.
Big, you know, each day you get behind a wheel, you never know.
That's
you
it.
Know, it could be your last.
Yeah.
Could be, you know.
Could be.
It could be your last. And
you can only in the back of your mind, you can only do what you can do that you think's right. Everything else is
and you hope it all pops back in your head when you need it, because you know it's sitting there dormant. You know it's like your immune system. It's sitting there dormant until you need it. You hope it knows what to do when it happens, and that's what you know. You hope the same thing in your brain. It's like, I hope that if I'm ever in this situation, I do the right stuff.
Right, it's kind of like the COVID shot.
Yeah, right. Okay. He did. Yes, he did, and that's fantastic.
Thank you.
It was an honor having you on today. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you guys.
We really appreciate it. We hope everybody enjoyed the show. And if they enjoyed the show, Shepard, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share with everybody, anybody. And that's the way the word gets spread. Just share the show with peoples.
Yes, sir.
So with that, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen.
Ciao.
Ciao.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You'll never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my own. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.